May these words and our meditations be humble and faithful, reverent and bold. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and grace. May these next few minutes serve you. Amen. Whenever I read scriptural text, my spirit grabs onto a few phrases. I can't do what Tom Zitch or Elizabeth Shaw are able to do. I cannot tell you the intricate narrative of the Bible. I do not know who begat whom, or when or how Paul traveled to Corinth. I couldn't name all the disciples if you forewarned me and offered me a $1 million prize. I just can't keep it all straight. But I do know that our sacred teachings include a God who is constantly redefining cultural and personal norms. Jesus, who is a prophet and a teacher, and stories, Holy Spirit stories, just as relevant and instructive as they were when they first happened. These stories offer, by metaphor, a new way. While I suspect you expected me to talk about Jesus, how he revealed himself in this text, I was more drawn to the disciples. Maybe that's because we are disciples too. I read this text and I locked on to the importance of the walk, eyes that need to see, and the heart that burns. First, the walk. I have 3 go-to people, maybe 4. When something in my life is really confusing to me, when the events seem unbelievable or improbable or without obvious resolution, much like they were for Cleopas and his friend, I don't say, let's meet for coffee or grab a quick dinner. I simply say, and I suspect you do too, can we take a walk? I think that's a common plea, a safe place, a safe way to say, I need help. There's something about that combination of moving forward while not looking directly at the eyes of the companion that creates the needed conditions for revelation. That talk, that deep talk, seems to rip a hole in the problem and make room for peace to enter in. Lucky for me, several of you in this congregation have been those walking companions. One after a horrible breakup, one when I needed to talk about the fear I have about my weight, one after a terrible falling out with a loved one. Have any of you ever gone on one of those late night, rain falling, heart breaking, soul shifting walks and not come home feeling better? Walking always teaches us something. Several times when he was healing others, Jesus said, get up. To a paralyzed man, to a dying child. I think these words are not just about miracle making, but they're instructive as well, especially when we feel stuck or lifeless, depressed and confused like the disciples would have been that day. Get up. Get off the couch. Stand up from the desk. Push away the remote control. Move your body to reset your mind. Be someone who chooses forward. There are 4 famous road stories in the New Testament, at least that I can think of. This one, when the disciples did not have a clue that Jesus was with them, and the road to Damascus story, where Jesus is said to have spoken directly to the non-believer Saul, Paul, leading to one of the most radical conversions in history. The parable of the Good Samaritan, where the least likely candidate acts in the most holy way. And Palm Sunday, moving on the road with praise and glory. I love that. I love that God leaves it wide open. I may speak to you directly. I may speak to you directly and you may not know. I may be invisible to you. I may speak with you alone, in a pair, in a crowd. I may speak to you in metaphor. I may rain down my love on you. No matter what the method, God makes one thing clear. God is always hanging around. Because we may not know who is being God with us, We need to pay attention, open our eyes, expect profound counsel from strangers. We should anticipate, unlike Cleopas and the unnamed disciple, that there will be holy companions with us on the road. I was at a summer writing retreat several years ago, and while others were taking afternoon naps, my teacher specifically sent me outside to have a new experience. I said, "But I've already had so many amazing things happen to me at River's Edge. What else do you expect?" She smiled, nodded like a shaman, and said, "Go, ask the world to teach you something you need to know." I headed out of the retreat center and ran smack dab into a nun. Sister was sitting on a bench right outside the door, and I plopped down next to her, completely enamored by her pressed blue shirt, her pressed blue skirt, her little kitty socks, and the bag of Cheetos she was munching on. I introduced myself, and we talked about all kinds of things: baseball, teaching high school physics, the food in the dining hall. I shared my liberal views with her, and she listened. When the conversation wound down, my new friend said, "Now that we know each other, we should pray for each other." And I thought, that's it! My lesson for the afternoon fulfilled. We need to take time to know people, and when we do, we should pray for their well-being. Done! Well, then I decided to take a hike that I thought would wind me down to the river's edge, but it didn't. I just ended up at the bottom of an impossibly tall hill, and I had two choices. I could either hike back the way I came, which was a low-grade walk, but it was swarming with mosquitoes, or I could try to climb straight up the steep hill. It was hot and muggy, as only in August Ohio can be, so I opted for the shortest route up the hill. I was 100 pounds overweight, cranky knees, but I started to climb, and I was, I have to tell you, kind of scared. I thought, who the heck is gonna find me out here when I have my heart attack? And soon enough, my heart was beating in my ears, my hands were swelling, and my breath became labored. I grabbed trees and vines and climb-crawled my way to the top, and I emerged from the woods near the retreat building. I had done it. Big old me had climbed the big old hill. I saw a woman sitting on a bench just ahead of me, and when I reached her, she greeted me. I barely said hi and instead rushed to my delight. "I just climbed that hill!" "You did?" she replied. "I only ever climbed that hill once years ago with some of my students. It's a killer." I noticed as she spoke that this nun had a slur in her voice, the slush of a stroke. She was holding her right hand steady. Then she said this, "What did the climbing hill teach you?" I paused. Here was my mystic, the person I was supposed to meet. I replied, "I learned that my heart is stronger than I thought it was. And it's true. My physical heart and my spiritual heart were stronger than I'd ever imagined they could be." We chatted a bit longer, and then I said, "You remind me of my mother." She laughed and said, "I can't remind you of your mother. I'm not that old." I asked how old she was, and she said 58. And I said, "Yes, yes, you remind me of my mother when she was your age." "How old are you?" I told her that I was 48. She perked up noticeably. "I have to tell you something very important. I wish someone had told me this when I was your age." She had my full attention, and she continued, "Next year is your 7th 7. 49. It's the most important year of your life. Judaic law says that you need to clear your fields, remit all of your debts. You have to set your slaves free." That phrase, "set your slaves free," gutted me, knocked me out. I teared up and I said, I was sent out here by my teacher to learn something important. And I thought the conversation that I had with Sister Somebody was the lesson. And then I thought that climbing the hill was the big lesson. But now I know that you are the lesson. Your words are what I needed to hear. Set your slaves free. I had, at that point in my life, so many slaves. Things within me that I had imprisoned. Feelings of shame and fear about my orientation. The pervasive habit of measuring my life against other people. The recurring belief that I was not worthy of love. There was so much that I needed to set free. While I was writing this sermon, I learned that the word shame is most likely derived from an old German word, of course, meaning to cover. The thing that's held me most captive my whole life is shame. And since meeting that nun on the big hill, I have purposefully uncovered my life, uncovered the truth of me. I have reaped the harvest of this chance meeting. It's amazing what can happen when you release fear. Now, I occupy my life as if I belong here. And I'm actually starting to believe that I'm a beloved child of God. But beyond that, meeting that nun reminded me that there are holy companions around us all of the time. We may or may not immediately know we are having a life-changing encounter. You may or may not recognize your Christ when your Christ comes, but one thing will be sure. When you meet holy instruction, something in you will be sparked. Your heart will burn with transformation. I tell you, meeting that nun was my Emmaus moment. And I can't even thank this person who's had a profound effect on me. I don't know her name. So all I can do is thank God, because I'm certain it was a divine moment. You know, we just can't help it. If we're open to God, we just keep bumping into God all over the place. Frederick Buechner wrote this in an Easter sermon entitled "The Secret in the Dark." I believe that whether we recognize him or not, believe in him or not, or even know his name, again and again, Jesus comes and walks a little way with us along whatever road we're following. And I believe that through something that happens to us, or something we see, or someone we know, he offers us, the way he did at Emmaus, the bread of life, a new hope, a new vision. We know that Jesus teaches us about two things most powerfully, love and resurrection. These two ideas are bumpers that will guide us all to grace and glory. They will give us all new hope and new vision. But this story, the Road to Emmaus story, reminds us that we must be culpable in our own resurrective moments. We must be people willing to move, willing to have walking companions. We must keep our eyes open to holy wisdom from obvious and less obvious sources. And when our hearts burn, we must follow them. What is your road to Emmaus? Whatever it is, get on it. Whether it's the road of justice, the road of forgiveness, the road of Sabbath and renewal, the road of dream chasing, the road of letting go, choose your road and get on it. Find companions. Figure out what you need to say along the way. Trust your heart to speak for your deepest fears and wishes. Ask yourself, are your eyes open? Are you ready to meet Jesus in whatever form he takes? Are you brave enough to let your heart be kindled with a new fire? As Easter people, we must say yes, yes, yes. This story, The Road to Emmaus, asks us to rise up to the risen Christ. Our journey, like every journey, starts right now with the next step we take. So let us praise God, who will create the path. Praise Jesus, the one who will always return for us and speak to us along the way. And praise the Holy Spirit, who will ignite our choices and make us burn with love and hope until we get to where we need to be. Amen.